listening to the Black Doula Podcast with myself, Xavier Wade, aka the Black Doula, and today's episode features Bear, a bear, to discuss capitalism. Hey Bear.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. Thanks so much for having me.
Yes, I'm excited to talk to you about all of these things, because these things also, like, capitalism in itself and a way that the world functions, especially like where I'm at in my own personal journey, it's like, how do I do this like in an ethical way, but also knowing that I need resources and people need, like, what the fuck do we do? So I'm super excited to have you here. So the first thing that I would like to ask is, how do you define capitalism?
Yeah, capitalism. I think of capitalism as a system of like an economic system that works on constant growth, scarcity, and exploitation. We always have to be making more money, making more products, doing more, being more. And even though it seems like the same thing, it's also, I feel like there's a subtle difference that it also says, like, we never have enough, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you always need to be making more because you never have enough. So there's never enough money, never enough time, never enough resources. And that then allows for the kind of exploitation that capitalism creates, mm-hmm. because we're then compelled to sort of engage in getting always more, never having enough at any cost, right? It's like, there's never enough. We always have to be getting more, and we're willing to do it at any cost. And there's like a much more sort of like technical definition of what capitalism is, but that's the sort of philosophical.
No, that was out the, like, I wanted that like simplified, because I think like sometimes when we hear like words like capitalism or just like, you know, those kind of like fancy businessy type of words, it's kind of easy to detach ourselves from it, because it's like, well, that's not really what my world is. Capitalism is not, you know, doesn't exist within me or around me or, you know, whatever it is. But to simplify it in that way of like us always feeling, well, like this like bigger system, you know, really pushing the idea of like, you never have enough and there's always more money to get, more products to make. It's kind of like, in order for you to feel valuable, but then you never feel valuable because you're never done. So you're just on this wheel constantly at all times. So one of the things about like that wheel, for sure, I know when it comes to capitalism in my personal life, that whole kind of gotta do more, gotta be more, gotta be the best, has definitely like physically like trashed my body, right? Like at certain times in my life, it was just like complete collapse, because I wasn't able to work in that system and listen to my body. So I would love just like your thoughts around like our like physical beings and this connection to capitalism.
Yeah, I think that what you just named is definitely inevitable end result for so many of us, that we end up burnout and collapse because capitalism. And I think you're right on the money with the fact that because of the ways that capitalism is tied to our participation in capitalism is tied with our ability to survive, right? And so it means that we are like, it is compulsory to participate. If you want to be able to like make money in order to survive, that compulsory quality, I think a lot of us into sort of like a near constant dissociation or disconnection from our bodies, where like in order to override our own kind of like drives or for pleasure or for rest or for, you know, even just like agency and choice, like in order to, we have to like override all of those things. But like in order to be able to participate in capitalism in a way that allows us to survive, we have to sort of really cut ourselves off from our own bodies, from our own sensations, from our own physical needs. And that like level of disconnection, it's a survival strategy, you know, but it's actually not, right? It's like a short-term survival strategy, but like ultimately it leads like—
Yeah, your body breaks down and then it's over and you're in collapse and you're like, what the fuck? And then right. Capitalism isn't like, usually it's not like, oh, take your time to recover. It's like, you have this much time to recover and then we need you back at work. And like, that's like the part that like, me personally, I had to kind of like, when I was working, especially when I was working 9 to 5, I was like, I can't believe y'all take up so much of my time and have so little respect for me.
Yeah.
So much so that I have to ask you if it's okay for me to take like an extra day off.
Yeah, I know. I never worked a 9 to 5 job. I've never had an office job, but I waited tables for, you know, 12 years before I was self-employed and overlapping with the time that I became self-employed. And that kind of like wage labor job is so, it's so present there too, because it's like, I can't afford to get sick. Like I can't afford to miss my shift. If I don't show up for my shift, I don't get paid. And if I don't get paid, I can't pay my bills. And so mm-hmm. it requires this like constant overriding of of whatever it is the, you know, the body's really saying.
Another thing that I liked about like just being like a follower of yours on Instagram, it's also just your conversation about racism. And so I would love to just like get your thoughts on racism and capitalism, like race and capitalism, I should say. Knowing that, like for me, knowing that like literally sleep is a disparity for people of color, and like that there's these like basic things, basic needs that marginalized groups in general don't usually get the access to or the ability to do because of capitalism. And then there's also like the other conversation, where I guess we get into is like the racial wealth gap. But I guess let's start with race and capitalism, and then go to the other things.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's like a lot of different sort of like philosophical takes on this about sort of like, does capitalism fuel white supremacy, or does white supremacy fuel capitalism? And I think like for me, the answer is like, there's not really a way to disentangle them, right? Like those things are just really inextricably linked at this point. But yeah, the way that has shaken down historically is like white people control the money, which inside of capitalism means controls bodies, controls power, controls agency, you know, controls society in all of these ways. And yeah, so then you get into the racial wealth gap, and it's like, okay, right. And then that compounds over time, right? That like access to money compounds over time.
So me and one of my friends, like in my like business stuff that I have going on, you know, I have begun to like acquire wealth, right? And like for me, it was very awkward and like out of place in the beginning, because I was like, it was just many things. I think there was like a dissociation from like my actual body and like having like funds that I can do stuff with and like be okay with, and like feel like I had to tell myself like it's okay to feel stable, right? Like it's okay to do that. Then it was also like this level of being a doula and like being a caregiver, and like, you know, there's sometimes like, especially being an activism, there's like this thing around like, if you're an activist or a person that wants to see change, you're also supposed to be broke. Like it's like some weird thing around that. And then I also think just like, yeah, like capitalism and being like, damn, am I like a part of that? Am I like moving in a way that is like, am I moving with integrity? Like what is happening? But then it was also just this last piece of like knowing about the racial wealth gap, learning, because right now I'm in a lot of like financial education spaces, and learning about like literally how capital, when you have capital, you can change the direction of the world, right? If you have enough capital, you can really influence and choose like the world is going to go this way, right? So with all that said, like it's been somewhat like interesting as like a Black person, non-binary, queer person, to want to acquire wealth, but also want to not embody capitalism. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think that makes total sense. And I feel like that friction of like needing to have enough, feeling weird about having enough, then having more than enough, and feeling really weird about having more than enough, and like how to navigate that feels really familiar to me. And of course, like, yeah, the way that race is influencing all of that is really, of course, that's present there too. Yeah, I think a couple of things come up for me hearing you talk about this. One is like, for me, it's been really important to make a distinction between commerce and capitalism, and that like the buying and selling of goods and services like long precedes capitalist economy. Like people, human beings have been like buying and selling with each other, mm-hmm. trading their time for money, their services for money, their goods for money for a long time. And that in and of itself isn't capitalism, right? Like me selling my services is not capitalism. Me selling my services inside a capitalist system, you could argue, okay, well, I'm participating in capitalism because there's no real way to opt out. But yeah. For me, that going back to that definition of like constant growth, scarcity, and exploitation as being sort of inherent in a capitalist approach. And I think for me, part of my ethos as a business person has been to try hard to make sure that like, even as I'm making money, even as I'm engaging in commerce, that I'm like actively working hard to like push back against the idea that like growth is not my goal as a business owner. I'm not trying to get bigger and bigger and bigger forever. I'm not trying to like, and I'm unwilling to exploit people along the way towards enoughness, right? Like I'm trying to reach enough for me. And like, that feels like, especially I feel like as a white person, like that feels like a really important kind of thing to unpack and to really like map onto privilege and power and all of those things. I think the concept of like Black wealth as culture changing is like, that's totally radical to me. And I'm like, I'm here for that. Right.
I'm all into Black wealth. I'm like Black luxury, Black wellness, Black excellence, Black, like, yes, all of
right. Totally. And I'm like, I think that that's when I think about like how culture changes over time, but like ultimately what I dream of and hope for is like collective liberation for all people. But I know that sometimes part of the way that we get there is by like swinging the pendulum real far in the other direction. And so I think, yeah, for like a Black queer non-binary person to like get rich and do good with that in the world, I'm like, yes, please, like go get your money and change the world with that. Right. And then I think for white people, there's like a different, for me anyway, there's like a different approach that I'm trying to take that I'm like, okay, yeah, I'm not actually trying to like make a shit ton of money. I'm just trying to like get enough that like I can be, that I can be well. Right. And I think but that has brought up all kinds of stuff for me too, that like, you know, I didn't grow up with money yet. My family doesn't have a lot of money. Like they're, you know, sort of working class, white Southern, you know, deep South folks. And so for me, even just like sort of having enough in my adult life, it's been a journey to get there, you know, but that like landing there and being able to go like, okay, I deserve to have a future, and like deserving to have a future includes like how I make it that I get to have a future means that like I have to think about finances. I think that I hear in what you're describing, I hear this a lot from my clients, and also a little bit in what you're describing is like part of what I think capitalism does is it sort of puts because capitalism prizes exploitative wealth acquisition, then when we're like activists or anti-capitalists, we think, okay, then we cannot like that we think that the problem is acquisition as opposed to the problem being exploitation. Mm-hmm. Right. And that like, actually for me as an anti-capitalist who is believing in and working towards collective liberation, like I believe in a vision of liberation that includes me. Mm-hmm. Like mm-hmm. I believe in a vision, like I'm working towards a collective liberation that I also get to participate in. And part of that for me means doing my business in a way that allows me to also have enough. And that if I'm struggling and making way less money than I need per year, that's like not actually including myself in.
That's such a good point. And I think like specifically when I think about people who are quote unquote radical and, you know, are anti-capitalist ways or anti-racism or, you know, really putting that work into, like you said, collective liberation, I think maybe it is kind of like, I don't know, like this capitalism or white supremacy that like feeds this message of like, if you're going to be that person, a caring, loving person who wants, you know, justice and for people have resources, that like you yourself have to be without, which is like the most unhealthy way to be in like the space of wanting to create change. Cause then it's like, what energy will you have? What resources will you have to do the work and do it in a sustainable way? Right? Like not just do it in a way like you're just a bleeding heart. I've definitely been the bleeding heart, you know, like undercharging, doing things, taking on too much free work, all of that. But I've learned that like that is not actually sustainable or healthy. And it's not good messaging around, like you said, that move towards collective liberation. And it's just not good for my body. Like, so I guess like, how do we, as people who want to be more conscious of, you know, capitalism and the way that we're moving through the world, like, where do we start in that process? Like, with, especially business owners specifically, because mm-hmm. a lot of like, you know, birth workers, people that I'm like in circles with are self-employed. So right. Like, how do we move into a space of, yes, like having our businesses grow or sustain, or even having the desire like me to have a big business? How do we do that in a way that is anti-capitalist?
Well, I think that like the first thing that I think of in terms of how I would frame up an answer to that question is just like, there's no moral purity inside systems of oppression, right? And so I think that like part of where business owners get stuck is that like we feel like no choice is actually a good choice, and therefore like we just sort of default to whatever our, you know, whatever our ingrained pattern is. And I think really like releasing ourselves from having to like get it exactly right, or like being able to see that like any choice we make is harm reduction. Mm-hmm. And that's like there inside the system, there we can't actually get to the place where we're like totally free, totally ethical, 100% whatever. It's always going to be like small steps in the direction of, but like never, like probably not in our lifetime will we like actually arrive at some place where things are like exactly as liberatory as we might like for them to be.
So being realistic about like your expectations of yourself.
Yeah, I think that's like really the first part. And then I think, you know, being really committed to including yourself in your own vision for liberation or your own vision for inclusion or, you know, access or whatever else it is that people are concerned about. Yeah. And then I think, I mean, there's so many different areas. So practically speaking, there's so many different areas in a business that people can work in an anti-capitalist way. I think the easiest, most straightforward one is like, how do we set our rates and what do we charge? And how do we do that in a way that both allows for us to get paid enough money to survive and thrive and like be well? And also like, can we do that and also make space for people who don't have as much money, who have, you know, historically been, you know, marginalized or you know, disallowed from participating in whatever the different things we offer are, like, how do we also create access for those groups? And I feel like people really like to complicate that, but it's like, that shit is not actually that complicated.
One of the things that we do, so my organization, Birthing Advocacy Dual Training, last year, we gave about like almost 40% of scholarships, either full or like full and partial scholarships.
Yep.
And when I first, like, I mean, I've always, since the beginning of like that organization, I've always focused on, you know, creating opportunities for people to be in the space, regardless of financial, whatever. And I think, you know, when you're talking about like scarcity mindset, like you mentioned in the beginning, I think really what holds people back is this idea of, if I, you know, reduce this, you know, offer that I have or create this free space in my class or whatever it may be, what if like I'm like, there's not enough people that will pay for it? Or what if there's so many scholarship seats and then like the next time I do it, no one's interested because I fill the class up with scholarship seats or whatever. And even for me, like, right, I have to be mindful of that because I love giving out scholarships and all that. But I remember in the beginning when my business wasn't as profitable as it was, I was like, am I like fucking up by being this like, by being this open and being like this giving? But then I was like, that's who I am as a person. Like, I want to be able to do that. And I have to believe that my generosity is not going to backfire. Because I think like capitalism kind of gives you that idea of like, if you're generous, if you're giving away things for free, if you're reducing your prices, then you're not valuing your work, and then no one's going to value it, and then you're not going to get anyone to pay for it because like you gave away one free seat. And it's like, I guess like, how do we get away from that? Like, how do we get away from that like scarcity mindset that is like forever sitting on top of us like a dark cloud?
I love that question. And I feel like for me, the opposites of kind of like that constant growth, scarcity and exploitation is like having a really clear financial picture of what enough looks like for you in your business. Like, how much money do you actually need? What are your actual expenses? What would it look like for you to have enough money to like live a beautiful life, right? Like, that feels like a totally crucial piece of information that like many business owners, a surprising number of business owners, don't ever actually have, where they're just sort of like, I can get by on this amount of money. And it's like, okay, but like, what would enough feel like? And so really like getting super clear about what enough looks like. And then I think like defining abundance for yourself in non-financial ways can really help too, because then you're like, okay, what does it look like for my life to feel abundant? Well, for me, it's like, okay, I have Fridays are my flexible day. I don't have clients that day. And like, for me, it feels like abundance to have one work day a week that gets like, it can be a rest day if I need it to be, I can take it off if I need it to be, like, I can hang out with friends if I want to, and, you know, in pandemic safe ways or in non-pandemic times or whatever. But you know, really, really getting clear on how else we want to define abundance for ourselves, because I feel like capitalism really narrows our imagination to make it feel like the only way to have abundance is to have a shit ton of money. And like, that is one way. And like, what are other ways? Yeah. And then in terms of this question around pricing and like how to make space both for your own needs to get met and also for people to have access, I think of like part of what exploitation, the like constant exploitation of capitalism does, I think is, disconnects us from our trust in ourselves and each other, but like, actually, we can just have relationships around money. Actually, we can just talk to each other. Actually, we could just like give and expect to receive like in equal measure. And that, like, that has really bared out for me. That has, like, really proven true in my own business that, like, every time I offer something up with, you know, with a discount code or a scholarship mm-hmm. or whatever, that it really, it allows for people, like when I offer generously, it allows people to like also engage generously back. And it's a lie of capitalism that like people won't, right? That like, if you offer something for cheap, then like no one's going to want to pay full price or whatever. And I actually think that so many people in the world are really hungry for like ways of engaging around money that are not exploitative. And when mm-hmm. you say, hey, here is a new way, let me explain to you how and why it works, that like most people are like, oh, cool. We can do this in a way that like feels good for both of us, right? Because part of what capitalism does is say like, I'm always trying to get the most money out of you for the least effort for me. And you're always trying to get the most effort from me for the least money for you. And we're always just trying to like fuck each other over. But if you say like, here's what I can offer.
Like one of the things that popped up in my head is like, when you're doing the whole, you have a business, so you understand, and hopefully like, you know, some folks in this like listening space of the like Wi-Fi airwaves, I don't know what podcasts do, but like, you know, they have businesses too. And so it's like, one of the things that's really important to me that goes kind of against, I always tell people, I'm like, we're in this space where like, we kind of have to be knowledgeable about how businesses were built like prior to whatever, like these last 100 years, I guess you would say. And, you know, knowing that those businesses were built generally by white people, those like modalities and ways of existing were built by white people. And so a lot of times when you are building your own business, whether you're a doula, a coach, a this, a that, whatever you are, and you're not necessarily like of that identity, especially, you're like, this is not going to work for me. Right. And it's like, and it's very easy to look at those business structures and think that you are the problem. Like, I'm the problem because I'm not able to fit into this, you know, like system that was already created. When really it's not that you're the problem, it's that system is the problem. Like that capitalist way of building a business and pricing and this and value. Like one of the things I try to like always keep in mind is that like everyone that, you know, whether they follow me on Instagram, join my newsletter or whatever, is really not about how much money they can put forward within that connection. Sometimes your biggest, like you're the person that's going to bring you the most money, maybe the person that's been in a free seat, you know what I mean? Like, and it's like, you have to like get out of that. At least for me, like when I was looking at like how to build a business and da da da, I was like, what you're saying does not ring true for me. And also like the way that this business is built was not made for someone like me to like to duplicate, right? Yeah. Like it wasn't made for that. So then it also leaves us like in this space where we have to create a new way of existing in business. And like that can be very challenging because you don't really know what's going to work and what's not going to work. You don't really know like what to do half the fucking time. So I guess, can you like kind of speak to that whole, like, I know that I want to not embody capitalism. I know that I want to build a business that's going to sustain myself, my family, whatever. But also like, I don't know what to do because it's not like you're a resource, but there's not many resources like you, right? Like that, you don't look up a business, like how to build a business. And it's like, let's do this in an anti-capitalist way. No, it's like, here's all the like, you know, fuck that ways you can do that. So I guess like, just speak to that like confusion of like, I don't know what to do.
Yeah, I think that comes up so much for so many of my business consulting clients where, I mean, that happened on a call this morning where they were like, I keep hearing that I need to like create an ideal client avatar, but that like really doesn't seem relevant to me or my clients are. And I'm like, that's correct. Because like that, I mean, this is just like one example, but I feel mm-hmm. like that particular like branding exercise is like really rooted in like, it's like name all the ways that your client has privilege. That's basically what that exercise is telling people to do. And it's just like, okay, if those are not your clients, like then that's not that information is not relevant for like how you're going to do your marketing or your branding or whatever. And I think that for me, one of the things that can really help untangle that a little bit is like when I read traditional business advice, which I do a lot, right? Because it helps me to figure out, right? It helps me to figure out how, what's working, what's not working, how I want to be in business. I always go back to the question of like, to what end? Like they're telling me to do this for what? Like, what is it that this person, mm-hmm. this like, you know, rich, straight white man is telling me to do? Like, what has that done for him? And like, what is he asking me to do that for? And then like, is that actually in alignment with like what I want in my business? Is that actually in alignment with what I want in the world? And if it's not, how do I like take the things that are useful about what he's saying and like translate that into a more kind of like relational enoughness, abundant kind of like framework mm-hmm. so that then I can sort of like, you know, take the things that are useful, take what works and like leave the rest aside and just be like, all right, that's based in exploitation. That's based in white supremacy. That's based in misogyny. That's based in, you know, whatever, that all the different systems of oppression that so much traditional business advice is rooted in.
Yes.
it's so real.
Mm-hmm. So it's like, I guess like what I'm hearing too from you is like, you are choosing to mentally and I guess like in some ways tangibly like divest from certain ideas. And so like, I feel like divesting is also a thing that people are kind of like bringing up more in the world. And I think it's really, I guess what, I feel like it's a complicated world. I just feel like we're right in this like middle piece where like you can divest from some spaces, but then other things you can't divest from because like you kind of need them because we're working in this system and we're living in the system. Like at least for me, like I couldn't live off the grid. Like I'm not that kind of person. Like I, you know, like I'm not the person who's like, fuck everything. Let me just go move and like get my solar powered. Like I'm not that person. But that leaves it like really complicated where you're like, I want to divest from certain things, but maybe I can't, maybe I can divest. Like what is kind of your practices on that?
Well, it makes me think of a couple of things. One is this quote from my internet pal, Hadassah Bamian, who her account is Ride Free Fearless Money, which I think is also her website, but she's like a queer money coach person. And she says this so succinctly. She says, surviving capitalism isn't the same as co-signing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like that's such a straightforward way of like naming that, like doing what you have to do in order to get by inside of capitalism is not the same as saying like, I believe in this, or like, I'm mm-hmm. here for this, or I'm excited about doing things in this way. And I mean, in terms of my own life and also how I work with clients around this stuff, I think of this like Venn diagram of like, you know, dismantling the world as it is, dreaming up and living into creating the world as we wish it was. And that like the place in the overlap is what survival looks like, right? It's like doing the things that we have to do to fight the things we can and want to do to fight back against all the ways that systems of oppression are crushing us. And then also like living into a vision for, you know, a world beyond all of these systems that are keeping us down. And I think it's really personal, you know, like, mm-hmm. like some of us, I think, are more equipped for, more inclined towards doing more of the kind of like hammer and chisel, taking it down kind of stuff. And some of us are more equipped for, more inclined for the kind of like creating the new structures thing. And that each of us has to decide, okay, how much of my energy am I putting into this thing? How much of my energy am I putting into the other side of this, you know, this Venn diagram, these two circles? And that's, you know, that's different for each of us and that it will shift and change over time. But there are no individual solutions to these systemic problems.
So that's important to say. Like, because I think like the world that we're in, just even though we like try to get away from like this binary thinking of there's one way to do it, there's one way not to do it. We get so stuck in that where I'm like, hey, we're all just trying to figure the fuck out. Like, we're trying to figure it out. We're trying to understand like that money exists, that it's going to be here. Understand that we live in like this, you know, capitalist society. We're trying to take back, you know, some of our autonomy and the way that we can use money or use these like laws and ways of existing. But also like sometimes you just wake up and you're like, I don't know what to do. Like, I don't know what to do. And I want to bring it back before I forget. One of the things I'm really appreciating about what you're saying is this whole idea of taking care of yourself and knowing what enough is for you. And so I'm wondering, like, one of the things that I tell people, right, and like my business coaching stuff that I do, which wasn't even like a thing that I set out to do, right? It was just a thing that people were like, hey, you're doing this and it makes sense to me. Can you like, oh, okay, I got it. But one of the things that I've like put forward, especially for BIPOC folks, is like you, when you have your business, you need to pay yourself first. Like you literally, for the sustainability of yourself, of your business, for your well-being, for many of other reasons, you need to pay yourself first. And so I'm wondering, like with the work that you do and your clients, do you come across that where like people are trying to move like outside of capitalism, but are maybe like creating patterns that are actually more harmful to them than to like than helpful to the actual movement.
Yeah, I think that's totally a thing that happens where like because we see how harmful capitalism is and like how harmful the amassing of wealth is, we like sometimes sort of just intuitively and not like sort of uncritically go to the extreme opposite, right? Which is like, let me earn no money. Let me like totally not be invested in my own financial well-being at all, because there are these ways that being overly invested is so harmful or can be so harmful and so, you know, exploitative and transactional. But that actually for most people, it's about trying to figure out what is the middle space, right? Like what is the place between, you know, having not nearly enough and having like an overabundance to the point that it is, you know, sort of out of balance, and trying to come back to that middle space that's like, yeah, we are allowed to have enough, and we're allowed to include ourselves again, include ourselves in that vision for justice and for liberation.
Need that. I like need so many people to hear that, because specifically in the birth world, I mean, that is kind of one of the first things that I started talking about in the birth world. Like, hey, when we're sitting at birth for 36 hours and when we're on call and when we're, you know, providing this emotional support and the prenatal education and the postpartum and this and other, like, that's worth something. And like, yeah. Yes, for sure. It does suck that some people don't have the access to that. And I think there's ways to create access without putting ourselves in a position that is not going to be helpful to ourselves or to like the movement that we're trying to be a part of. Yeah. And like, so hearing that aspect of like being anti-capitalist doesn't mean you're not taking care of yourself. If anything, you're prioritizing yourself so that you can be like a well-resourced person for your community.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I'm hearing from you.
Yeah. And I think, you know, part of the other thing I would say here is that like, we're talking about it in kind of like cognition terms in terms of like thoughts and thinking and cognition, but there's also like a big kind of like emotional, I would argue, ancestral unlearning to do around being willing and able to receive and to like have enough. And that like, especially if we come from, you know, family lineages that haven't had enough, or, I think about the way that this really intersects with patriarchy and the way that like women and female assigned people have been like, taught and enculturated to like always be sort of like sacrificing themselves for the, mm-hmm. you know, the greater good or whatever, which I know like lots and lots of folks in the birth world would fit under that umbrella, you know, that it's one of those things that there's some like emotional tending and emotional work that also has to happen, that it's like practicing receiving and like dealing with the discomfort of like receiving and like having enough and being like, whoa, shit, this feels scary, right? Because we've been trained that like our ability to belong in society and our like usefulness in society is predicated on our willingness to sort of like subjugate ourselves to the whims and needs of other people. And like, mm-hmm. whenever you start standing up and going like, no, actually I'm a whole person and I have needs and like, I'm allowed to like advocate for them and get them met too, like not over anybody else's needs, but like just in addition to other people's needs getting met, that can feel like deeply discomforting in the body, that it's just like, oh shit, what? Like,
You are speaking my life. I like literally, last year, especially when I first, like when pandemic was first happening, that's when I was really like on your page heavily, because you were like doing all the things to keep us sane, and which thank you for that. And at that time, like that's when my financial, it was like many things were happening at the same time. Like the pandemic was causing a lot of deaths in my like circle. It was also, I was building wealth. Like people were interested in what was happening. And I was like, this is so fucking weird. Like, it was very like uncomfortable for me. It was like, I'm happy for sure, cause I want the stability. I want these type of things, but it also felt really heavy because I'm like, I had to really think about, I had to kind of like separate these ideas that have been put around me, around like being an activist, being a doula, being Black, being like a Black, you know, like it was just like all these things. I was like, am I supposed to have this? Is it okay? Like, what am I supposed to do with this? And then it also was like, is it going to go away? Right. So it was like these ideas that were like pulling me into like, I want to enjoy this, but no, I need to work on like doing other stuff, because what if this just goes away? Like, I couldn't even enjoy it. I didn't really start enjoying like things until recently. Like, where I was like, these resources help me to take care of myself. Like, it's okay. it's okay to do, to like take care of yourself and be okay and be stable. Like it was definitely some like ancestral, like deep shit that I had to work through. And I'm still working through, right? Like I have a therapist that works specifically with like CEOs and like people that, you know, that are the strong friend. Like she's literally that kind of therapist. I was like, I need that person to tell me that I'm okay. Cause sometimes even in my stability and even in, you know, good things that are happening, I'm like, am I actually okay? Is something going to happen? Is everything going to go away? Am I being a good person? Like, it's a whole fucking thing.
It's totally a thing. Yeah. And I think that, the, like, we have to sort of solve the, like, financial, we have to, like, we're solving the financial problems, solving the ways that we're thinking about money. But then there's, like, also all of this, like, emotional stuff that comes up. And what you're saying about the, like, okay, letting yourself receive, that's like one piece of it. And then there's this other piece that's like, oh my God, is it going to stay? I'm okay right now, but will I be okay in the future? And like, you know, the kind of like constant growth and scarcity pairing inside capitalism makes us feel like we'll never actually be okay. And there's a study that I can't ever remember what institution did this, but there's a study that they interviewed hyper wealthy people. So like people with $25 million or more in assets about a variety of things. But like one of the questions they asked these people was like, do you feel financially secure? And like 2/3 of them, these are like very wealthy people, 2/3 of them answered, no, they do not feel financially secure. And then the follow-up question was like, if no, like how much more money would you need to have in order to feel financially secure? And like people estimated based on their own, you know, money or whatever. And the average was like about 20% more than they currently have. And like, that to me is just like so telling, right? That like, no matter if we don't do the inner work, no matter how much money we have, like it will never, if we don't do the work of like deciding what enough looks like, then no matter how much money we get, it will always feel like, well, if I just had a little bit more, if I just had 20% more than I currently have, then I might feel okay. But that's, going back to the very beginning, that's the wheel, right? That's the wheel we're all in. Yeah.
Yep. And like one thing that I'm like working on right now is like, I was like, I've always been in this survival mode, right? And never been in like this thriving space where I had to literally change a lot of my habits, my thinking, like, cause I'm like, hey, like I need to stop thinking like out of urgency. Like in my brain, everything's urgent, urgent, urgent. And then I'm like, actually, none of this is urgent. Fucking like, you know, brainwashed shit that I have going on in my head. So like now I'm like moving in a space where I'm like, well, actually, let me think on this. Let me figure this out. Let me take my time. Like, let me, and like, to me, that's like my personal way of moving against capitalism, as well as like, I'm definitely infiltrating. I'm learning some financial shit. I'm learning like how things work on the inside. And I'm like, you know, in spaces where like people like me probably don't get into just because I want to go and like fuck it up, you know? But like that's my personal like anti-capitalist movement.
Yeah. And I feel like that's like really, it's really right, right? Like you've defined abundance for yourself in terms of like being able to have like time abundance where you're like, oh, I actually can do my work and have enough and like have more than enough without having to rush, right? I mean, that's like Trisha Hersey, the Nat Bishop. That's her whole thing, right?
Is like, why am I not laying down right now? I'm just gonna go lay down. I'll be back. Like, yeah. I'm not rushing for anyone unless it's actually urgent, right? Like actual, I'm okay with. Perceived, I'm not.
And it's totally brainwashing. Like you said that, and I think it's so real that like we've just like absorbed these messages over and over and over again and just seen everyone around us doing it, right? Everyone's participating, everyone's buying in, everyone's doing it without thinking about it. Everyone's in this like constant state of denial. And so then like
everyone is tired. Everyone is like, most of us are not well rested. Most of us are just in this cycle and we don't even notice it like that. And that was like part of my slowing down was like, I'm going to notice that I'm going into that brainwashed associated state instead of just letting it happen. Like I'm going to like force myself to slow down and like rethink until it becomes a habit, you know, a new pathway in my brain around like how I solve problems or how I move in the world.
I'm just like so happy for you. That's like the feeling I'm having right now. I'm just like, oh, I feel compersion. Like I just like have joy for your joy. Like I just want you to like get to be resting and slow and rich. Like
listen, that's the goal. Like for me, it's like the goal for me is like at first it was hard for me, especially like in the beginning of last year when like, well, beginning of last year. Yeah. when money was coming in, it was like really fucking weird for me. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to say. I didn't know like if it was going to stay there, if it was like, you know, I was looking at these numbers in my account, like for real, because you know, you can't really see the money. Like, so you're just like, is it that many dollars in here? Like, what does that many dollars even fucking look like? I don't know. To me, it was just like a dissociated, like there's just a number on my screen. It's not literally sitting in my hand. So I don't fucking know if it's real, right? But then it's like, once I started to put one and two together that like, when I take care of me, I can like put that energy back into my community. That is what like, that's what abundance is for me. Like when we're talking about that, when I get people contacting me, like about like, whether it's an experience that they had in my class, whether it's just something I said that motivated them, that like helped them to see differently, whether it's just like whatever it is, you know, like that kind of like communal love and care and being able to help fund stuff when I want to, right? Like being able to invest, being able to see someone maybe in need for and like be able to like move money over to them and be like, you know, I don't need this back. You just take this. Like I want you to just enjoy it, use it for how you want to use it. Like that to me is totally worth it. I'll keep doing the work. I'll keep being in these spaces that we're not usually welcome in. I'll keep like fucking up those type of industries and like their expectations and standards. If I know and I can continue to like, you know, bring that energy and those resources back into my community. And yeah, if I can continue to rest and take care of myself and like get massages because
right, I need massages. Yes. I feel like that's the dream too in some ways, is like how do we like Robin Hood, right?
I'm so here for that. I have so many plans later in the year. Y'all have no idea, but I can't tell you yet.
I can't wait. And I feel like it's like easy to do that on like the large scale that you're talking about. And mm-hmm. also I feel like it's easy to do that on the smallest scale. That's like part of how my pricing structures are, which is like, how do I charge enough for my coaching services? How do I like set the retail price for my coaching services high enough that then when someone comes to me, who's like, I can't afford to pay you $175 or $250 an hour, mm-hmm. or whatever it is. Right. And I'm like, cool. How much can you pay? And they're like, I can pay you $25 an hour. And I can say yes. Right. Mm-hmm. And like, because I've done the work to make sure that I've like taken the money from the people who have it, so that then I can like offer my energy to the people who don't have it and like not have to resent anyone.
Like that is literally like my business model. You can afford it, great. That gives me space for people who can't afford it without me depleting myself to no return. Right. I want to respect your time. So can you please tell us just kind of like services that you offer, anything that you want us to know, what's coming up?
My primary work currently is as a radical business coach. I work with folks who are doing business different ways or would like to be doing business non-traditional or countercultural ways. I also work as a countercultural life coach. I'm also having a year of abundance, and I'm not currently taking one-on-one clients because my books are full until the fall. But if folks want to work with me in the meantime, I have a three-part online course about pricing your work called Freely, that's available on my website. And there are discount codes there for folks who can't afford it. So it's available for $50 to $0, depending on folks' financial need. And I am, fingers crossed, going to run a group program around this radical business in the late spring, and folks can sign up for the waiting list for that on my website.
Yeah, but say what you want to say.
Yeah, faircoaches.com. Yeah, also I just want to like side plug that I also do this work with men plus people around undoing patriarchy, which is on undoingpatriarchy.com. If you like the way I talk about capitalism, I talk about patriarchy in very similar ways, and I'm teaching another round of that class coming up in April. So
yes, well, I'm very, very, very grateful that we had time to talk today. And I'm also grateful for like you throwing in that like I'm booked into the fall, because I think like a lot of times when people are talking about like anti-capitalism, people are like, I don't believe you because you don't have, you're not getting any work. You know what I mean? Like I can't, like I hear what you're saying, but you're also telling me that you are also broke today. So I can't really like, you know what I mean? But like really hearing how you're like integrating these practices and getting booked and being able to have time for yourself and being able, you know, like that is like, it's not just about saying, it's about modeling, and you're modeling it. And so I'm just grateful for all of it.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it was such a pleasure to get to talk with you more today.
Same. Let's talk again soon.
Let's do it.